Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, hello everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team, and we're getting ready to have our study entitled The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Apropos of that, there is Rick sitting right across from me, and we are happy that you are also virtually sitting across from us. Don is here up with us on the radio as well. And we will be starting here in just a minute. We've had a really nice discussion beforehand, and you know, the thing about all of this is that the more information that you know, the more calm and peaceful you become, because you know what's happening. You are aware of what's happening. And that's what we want to do today. We want to make you aware of what is going on so that you are not nervous about the future. So our website, primary website, is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me. You will also find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling. We are also here in just a little bit going to start updating our original website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. /SM. And we will be doing some, posting some things that might seem a little bit antithetical to what we're trying to do, but in reality, what we're going to post may shed some light on what we are doing and why we are doing it. We will get started. I'll get started with that here this next week. And it's going to take me a little while because that website has been inactive for so long. I'm going to have to go back to GoDaddy and get all the codes and all of that stuff so that we can actually update things. We encourage you to get your Bibles out. The Bible is the textbook that we use. And the words in the Bible that we use as our authority are the words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth, and the words of God in the Old Testament. So let's have prayer. We'll get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are coming up on a decision point. And thank you, Father, that it appears that that decision has already been made by the people of this country and indeed the people of the world to take the road less traveled, the road that leads to peace and prosperity and life. And I pray, Father, that you will, in your great mercy, help us to understand the dynamic of all of this so that we can be prepared to take this message of joy to a world that is being beset by an attitude of fear. And I pray, Father, that we will not give in to that fear. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me go ahead and say hi to Don. Hi, Don. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning.
Are you doing all right down there in Redlands?
I'm doing it. It's a gorgeous day. I'm doing pretty good. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Again, if you need to say something, I'll keep watch, and you can go ahead and push the number one there, and I'll get you on the air. Good morning,
thank
Mike.
Good morning.
And good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And you're up, Rick.
Now that we have all the pleasantries taken care of, and I'm back from Camarillo, where hopefully I've had the last of my dental work done. We are about ready to embark on a pivotal week. Pivotal in the sense that there is going to be a dramatic event that takes place that concerns the whole entire and complete world. An event that involves and concerns all those who are listening to the Father of Lies, and those who are listening to the Father of Truth. The Father of Lies is not as powerful as the Father of Truth. And what determines the outcome are those of us, the people who live here on the earth. Are we listening to the Father of Truth or the Father of Lies? Now, the Father of Lies has developed a very successful way of convincing his children that what they believe is the truth. And those who listen to the Father of Truth are the liars. He controls all the sources of information. Well, all. He controls them all, but not all the people who disseminate the information. That's how the Father of Lies operates. Hoping that his children don't stop to do any investigation, that they will just accept what his operatives are telling them to believe. He's been doing this ever since he incited a rebellion. The rebellion that caused a war to be waged in the heavens, and it is the same type of war that is now taking place on earth. We trust, and when I say we, I'm talking about those of us who have been working for many years. I was just thinking last night, as you know, I was not here on the broadcast yesterday because I was up having a filling and a crown done on a tooth that the dental assistant said to me, "Boy, this tooth has a long history." I said, "Yeah, it does.
Long in the tooth.
It has a long history." So my dentist is also my brother-in-law. So we usually go up and stay with him overnight because Camarillo is 137 miles away. And you have to pretty much drive through the greater Los Angeles area to get there from here. And there's some areas that you drive through that are, I don't know if they're considered the greater Los Angeles area, but they probably are.
Some of them are not so
big. Greater. And my brother-in-law, like I am, is a Seventh-day Adventist. My mother-in-law is a Seventh-day Adventist. And, of course, we needed to take her up with us because she was having some dental work done. So yesterday, along about sundown, they put on the 3ABN. Now, 3ABN is nothing but lies. It's operated by an organization that promotes lies, just like all the other spiritual organizations. The only difference with them is they believe in the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy, although they don't quite know what that is. And the person who was up there spouting about the Sabbath and going through, and it was like the same old tired crap that I grew up with. Proving that the seven-day week has never changed from its historical created beginning. And when does the Sabbath start and when does the Sabbath end? And I'm thinking to myself, while this guy, and he's very well known, in fact, I will name him, Doug Batchelor, said that he's been doing this for 30 years. And I thought, yeah, 30 years ago, he was spewing the same crap that he is right now tonight. It's interesting that I have been doing this for 27 years. And my understanding has changed and developed. My understanding has become more plausible, more feasible, more in tune with what is actually happening. When you think, just lately, within the last few months, that I have actually entertained the thought that the end time reality is more than likely not going to be what I heard when I was growing up, what Doug Batchelor was spewing last night, and
that reminds me of Trump talking about Biden 47 years and done a thing. So why would you expect anything to change?
And my brother-in-law responding when I asked him if he was going to be working with us when the Son of God said it's time. Where 27 years ago, he would have said, most definitely. Last night he said, well, I don't know, because I don't know, I haven't really accepted what you're saying. even those who see themselves as solid believers in the testimony of the Son of God fall so easily for the testimony of the liar, Paul. Because it's in the Bible and because it's so full of love. I defy you to find anywhere where the Son of God said that love is the determining factor in whether he will save you or not. Because he did say, he said without any qualification, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, it demonstrates that you love me. And the Father loves those who love me. That's what he said. That saying that you have love and even demonstrating through humanitarian work that you love, your love is empty if you do not obey the commandments. And not just thinking that which commandment, making sure that you're keeping all the commandments like a list, that the commandments are written in your intellect and you do them without even thinking about what you are doing. A change in your soul. This coming week is a week that is going to determine the spiritual soul of this world. The spiritual content of the soul of this world. There's going to be an election in the United States between the candidate that God has chosen and the candidate that Satan has chosen. Cardinal Carlo Maria Vigano wrote an open letter to the President of the United States. And he is, the Cardinal Vigano is someone who knows the deep state, the internal workings of the satanic cabal, because he started out in it. In fact, he's basically been canceled by the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church for which he worked. I don't think he's been excommunicated, at least yet. He's been very vocal in pointing out the failures and fallacies of the church. And in this letter, he rightly described what the choice and what the outcome will mean, not just for the United States, but for the whole world. The satanic cabal is ready to take control of the whole world. And the only thing preventing them is the executive office of the United States. The president, the current president, and his team. But they're not working alone. They are working with the help of the God of truth and his angels. I've told you for the last few months that there is a spiritual war going on in the world right now for the souls of mankind. And the decision time on that war comes this week. And what I believe is that as the devil has controlled the truth, and by control I mean he has controlled it in such a way that he has promoted lies as the truth and truth as the lies. But it is my understanding that he has not been able to convince a majority of people of the earth that his lies are the truth. So the devil is not about ready to wave the white flag. So what happens on Tuesday, as I understand the prophecies, Donald Trump and his team will win. Win in a landslide. I wouldn't even be surprised if he wins California. I didn't say he would win California. I said I wouldn't be surprised if he did win California. And I say that because if he wins California, he wins in a huge landslide.
I'm sorry, what would you say?
That would be a very statement making situation.
Oh, my gosh.
So what makes me think that God wins? Well, there's many things. First and foremost, well, not first and foremost, but first, not foremost.
Two.
The quantum AI computers that the behind-the-scenes leaders of this world use to try and manipulate the future. And as I talked about two or three times in previous broadcasts, everything was going fine until all 17 computers, I think it's 17 or 16 or 17, all of these AI quantum computers involved with the program called Project Looking Glass came up with the same outcome result. Never happened before. A lot like the movie Minority Report. This was greatly troubling to the members of the Project Looking Glass program. They figured something had gone wrong with their computers, all of them. So they brought in the expert to troubleshoot. The expert said, there's nothing wrong with the programs, and there's nothing wrong with the computers. Well, what that outcome was that the computers were all saying apparently was not what most of the members of Project Looking Glass wanted. So without knowing exactly what that singular outcome that all the computers was giving, I need to guess. But my guess is based upon very reliable information. Information that is in Revelation. Now you might say, so were the computers saying that what Revelation describes is the reality that is going to happen according to the computers? I don't think so, because the reality that the computer programmers, those who were working with Project Looking Glass, have been doing so for a long time. And what we know is that in 2016, the citizens of the United States voted for the wrong person so that the wrong person won the election. Well, that is, if you're part of the deep state satanic cabal, the wrong person won the election and upset their whole plan. Their plan is described in Revelation in detail. Their plan is described in the book of Revelation in great detail. It is what Satan was expecting, what he had planned for, what he had set up. But the people of the United States of America threw a monkey wrench into those plans when they elected Donald Trump. And Satan went into
overdrive.
Well, overdrive, but he went into panic mode, but panic in that he's trying to salvage the plan. He thought he was going to coast right into his worldwide government, his one world order, his order. A satanic dictatorship. Tyrannical.
Hello, this is Dennis. Are you listening to our program?
Tyrannical.
Oh, okay. Well, he dropped. That's interesting.
I don't know what Dennis is. He showed up and starts talking to somebody.
I saw that he had, there was a number and there was a one, you know, a one by it, the question mark by it. And so I decided to see what was going on. Apparently somebody's listening to our program this morning. So
we've had a couple of listeners that have as their username, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, Satan or Lucifer. Or the devil.
Hmm.
You know, the devil is listening. I don't know why, though. He knows what's going to happen, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's going to happen, and he doesn't want it to happen. Wait a minute. Revelation describes what the devil wants to happen. But does it? Those of you who have listened over the last few months, and those of you who have listened over the last number of years, know this. Revelation describes one reality, but seems to indicate that there's another reality that is actually going to take place, that it only hints at what is actually going to take place. And I'm going to read the text again because it is very important. And it is in Isaiah 18. If I can get it here real quick. It's a text that I've read many times, and I could quote it to you probably from memory, but here it is. Isaiah 18. Jeremiah, sorry. Jeremiah 18, starting with verse 7. Please pay attention to what these verses are saying. This is not a conditional statement. It is a statement that God has conditions on what he says. And that absolutely applies to today. Because God does not change. God doesn't say this and say, in these days, but not in days of the future. God is describing how God is. On occasion, I decree for some nation or some kingdom that I will tear up, knock down, and destroy. That's death road, okay? That's death reality. That's what Jonah was told to deliver to Nineveh. But if this nation, against which I have pronounced sentence, abandons its wickedness, and I then change my mind about the evil which I had intended to inflict on it. On another occasion, I decree for some nation or some kingdom that I will build up and plant. But if that nation does what displeases me, refusing to listen to my voice, I then change my mind about the good which I had intended to confer on it. And we have demonstration of both of these. God has demonstrated both of these descriptions that he has told Jeremiah to say to the people. He told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house, and he told Jeremiah, it is up to the potter to decide whether to destroy the vessel of his creation or whether to bake it and keep it and use it. We have the former description about death and destruction with the clear example of Jonah. And we have the example of the promises of building up and planting with the children of Israel. Now, if God says, this is how I behave according to what the people of earth are doing, then if we are in the end time, and according to Cardinal Carlo Maria Vigano, he says we're in the end time. He says we are there at the decision point. Does God win or does the devil win? And it has nothing to do with destruction of armies. Nothing. It has to do with the character of people. And I'm here to say that the character of people doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, what religion in Christianity you are, how you view Christianity, whether it's Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or Catholic. It doesn't matter whether you are a Muslim worshiping Allah. Doesn't matter whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu. Doesn't matter whether you're a pagan. Doesn't matter what you call yourself or how you worship. As long as you're not worshiping Satan. Most people worship a God they do not know, but it is a God they have been taught to worship. And they don't go around promoting evil works. What they promote is care for their fellow human being. Care for their neighbor. This is the second great commandment. The first great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I say that what I see is the majority of the people of the world do love their neighbor as theirself. They have just been taught lies about God, the true God. And God wants them to learn about him, but he needs those who already know him and know the truth about him to share that with those who have been held in darkness by lies. I was talking to an agnostic friend of mine. It's actually a friend of my son's, but he's a friend of mine. And he's gay, but that's fine. I was telling him about how I see the future. We have some very interesting discussions when he comes over. When I told him that it looks like what God has in store for us is peace and prosperity, not death and destruction. He made a very astute statement. I mean, he's a very bright young man. He said, how do you get people to be serious about God when they have peace and prosperity? What is the impetus for them to change? Isn't it harder to get people to listen to you about God when everything is fine? I said, yes. I understand that. But God desires that people have what their actions ask for. God is not going to force anyone into a tyrannical kleptocratic, dictatorial, satanic state if their heart is not wicked. He's made that very clear. And I think that God can have just as successful a way of helping people know and accept the truth in times of peace and prosperity as in times of destruction and adversity and death. And the reason that I say that is God's desired, what God desired to have with Israel is a nation who knew him, who loved him, who worshiped him, and who kept his commandments. And by doing that, he would bless them and prosper them. And by doing that, their prosperity would be noted by the pagan nations living around them. And when the pagan nations were suffering through a famine, they would note that Israel had plenty. When the pagan nations were being attacked by other pagan nations, they would note that whatever nation was going against Israel never succeeded. In fact, there was never even an army from Israel sent out to fight. The nation defeated itself. Plagues, pestilence, Nothing would touch the nation that knew their God and worshiped their God and acted in accordance with his will. And a good example of what God really wanted was when Hezekiah wanted a sign that God was actually meant what he said in granting him an extension of life. And what he wanted was for God to move the shadow in Solomon's staircase back. What was it, 10 degrees? I think it was, he actually said what he wanted. And God did that. And it wasn't just a sleight of hand illusion. God didn't move the shadow back in the staircase, but kept the sun and the earth and so on in its ordered state. So in other words, an optical illusion in the staircase as if the shadow had moved back. Because the reason I know this is that far away in Babylon, the scientists there noted the shadow moved back on their big sundial. And they searched their ancient records and their historical records, and there was never any recorded event such as they had just witnessed. So they sent messengers far and wide to find out if other countries had noted this, and they had. Well, how did this all come to be? And they finally found out that in some little podunk country, the country of Israel, that the God of Israel had done it at the request of the king Hezekiah. So the Babylonian scientists got a delegation together to go to the land of Israel and talk to this king and find out about the God that could cause the shadow to turn back. And so they did. And when they arrived, King Hezekiah demonstrated that he did not know the God of Israel or the plan that the God of Israel had. He got so full of himself that these distinguished scientists and leaders of a faraway kingdom had come all the way to Israel to find out about him. So he wanted to let them know that Israel wasn't such a podunk little nation.
He confused ego with reality.
And instead of telling these dignitaries and scientists about the God of Israel, who had the ability and the power to cause the shadows to move backward, he showed them all the gold that Solomon had amassed.
And other treasure.
And that did it. They went back to Babylon and they said, wow, that little podunk country has more gold than I have ever seen. And from that time on, Babylon planned how they could get a hold of all that gold. What does God want from us? And what does God have planned for us if we give him what he wants from us? God wants for us to live in a world of peace and prosperity. He does not have to put us through hell before we can have it. Now, I talked to someone else about peace and prosperity, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, wait a minute. No, I'm not for that. You're not for peace and prosperity? No, but you don't know what you mean. And I knew what they were talking about. There's a lot of yahoos out there saying that God is going to make you rich, but this is how you have to get it. This is what you have to do. And maybe some of them do get rich by doing that, but it isn't God making them rich. It's the devil.
You know that Reverend Ike in the 60s, he had a peace and prosperity ministry, and he said, you know, the very first thing you have to do is you have to pay your tithe to me. And when you pay your tithe to me, all of a sudden, God will open the
windows of heaven.
Windows
will
heaven will
open.
And the only one who ever got rich out of that was Reverend Ike.
Reverend Ike. I wouldn't call him Reverend, but.
Well, that's what he named himself.
I know. Peace and prosperity is not limited to a few in God's plan. Peace and prosperity comes because you are behaving in accordance with God's will. That's it. Everybody experiences it. It is not just limited to a few who have flipped the right switches for God, because it's not a secret. It's not a secret that you have to go to hear a certain person tell you which switches to flip, in which direction, and then God will make you prosperous. Prosperity doesn't mean wealth. Prosperity means good health. Enough to enjoy life, not at the expense of someone else. And peace? Wouldn't you want peace? It's amazing to me that peace is something that most people think they will never have, because nations and countries are just that way. One country wants what another country has. Or a group of countries want what another group of countries have. But if everyone has, and there are none that have not, what would there be a need for war? Next time we have a broadcast, I will know more about what the future holds, because we are at a tipping point. this is probably going to be the most difficult, most dynamic, most significant week the world has ever experienced. And the next time we have a broadcast, this world will be a whole different place. One way or another, it is going to be a whole different place. We are at a transition, fork in the road. And I'm here to tell you that I am certain that if I am right, that we will find out what the information of Revelation 10 is, one way or another. But I cannot imagine that God would put Revelation 10 in there if that's not what the world is going to experience. There would be no reason for God to change his mind, as he said Jeremiah 18. There would be no reason for him to change his mind, except that the people of the world are not wicked. There are wicked people in the world, but they are certainly not representative of the people in the world. And it looks to me like God has changed his mind, and God knew that. He wouldn't put Revelation 10 in here and tell John what the seven thunders, he heard what the seven thunders said. He would not put it in there and then keep it a secret if it was not the road that the people of the world had chosen. And just like the people of Nineveh who changed from their wicked ways, the people of the world who never developed wicked ways are being told that they are not going to experience the death and destruction of Revelation, but they will experience whatever the seven thunders say. And I think we will soon find out what the seven thunders said. And that all is determined with the outcome that happens this next week.
And to quote Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. We can make a difference, and I pray that God will follow his plan for us as we go forward into this next week. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial at 10 a.m., and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We hope you have a great Sabbath day, and we will see you all next time. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. Have a great day.